Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
People generally still have their jobs, can still pay their mortgage, could still afford a vacation if they want. But once they start worrying about it, they don't think they do.
Fear itself. Calm down, everybody, says Mayor Bloomberg, speaking in London, one of the epicenters of the global financial crisis. We'll talk about New York City and the crisis. We will carry President Bush live when he speaks in a little bit later this hour. First of all, good morning. And thanks to Amy Eddings for filling in yesterday while I was out atoning for my sins. It's unfortunate in my case that we only get one day for that. I tell you, I only cleanse myself through around Groundhog's Day. So I need weeks, months to atone for all my sins. But here I am, ready to sin again. Now, with world stock markets in literal free fall again today, President Bush will address the nation later this hour. We will carry that live. The G7 leaders are meeting this weekend to address the financial crisis. The G7 are the big seven industrialized nations. U.S. and British officials are now proposing something that the Bush administration opposed in the bailout bill just last week, and that was not in the bailout bill, having the government take a direct equity stake in the banks to guarantee loans to get the credit markets flowing again. Also, government guarantees on various kinds of loans, perhaps to be in the offing. So we'll hear the president live. And again today, we will have a variety of guests. We will start on the local track with some of the implications for our New York City area. We heard Mayor Bloomberg speaking there. We'll play a few more clips from his appearance in London. And we will talk about the implications for our New York City area of this growing chaos and at least the deepening sense of crisis as stock markets go down the way they are. With me first are Sam Chandon, chief economist and senior vice president for research at Reese Incorporated. He's got broad experience in areas including market forecasting, risk evaluation, and real estate market analysis. Also, Marissa DiNatale, senior economist at MoodysEconomy.com. She was formerly with the Bureau of Labor Statistics, responsible now for state and metro area economic forecasts, as well as labor market forecasts. And we will leave the phones and, of course, our comments boards open all morning, 212-433-WNYC. Call in, chime in, ask for clarification on things you don't understand. Give us your own analysis. Tell us your situation, whatever. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Sam and Marissa, thanks a lot for doing this today. Welcome to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian.
On another intense day. And Marissa, as a labor economist, how do you begin to assess how, for the New York area, Wall Street will affect jobs on Main Street Flushing and Bergen Line Avenue, New Jersey, and everywhere else around our town?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty well known how much these Wall Street jobs impact the New York economy in terms of the incomes that they've generated over the past few years. You know, the bonus payments that have been paid out in 05, 06, and last year were record bonus payments, and we know that that has very large implications for the real estate market, for retail spending in New York, you know, for small businesses, for restaurants. So it definitely has very large implications for the rest of the New York City economy that's not directly tied to Wall Street.
Are there any particular industries that are being especially hard hit other than finance itself? I read that Governor Corzine, for example, was concerned about pharmaceuticals, a big industry in New Jersey.
We're starting to see, I mean, and the data so far have been actually pretty good considering what we've heard from Wall Street so far. But in terms of employment data, we are starting to see large layoffs in the retail sector, which is a big sign that consumers are pulling back. We're starting to see some job losses in support industries for Wall Street, like professional business services, accountants, lawyers, things that are very closely tied to finance, IT-type jobs. So we are starting to see losses in industries that typically go up and down with Wall Street.
Now, I want to play another clip of Mayor Bloomberg before we get into Sam Chandon and real estate. This is Mayor Bloomberg from his WOR Friday morning show, where he does an hour with John Gambling every week. And here's the mayor talking about how New York is holding up pretty well.
Those banks that we've used are all okay, and we don't have a lot of exposure to any one of them in case they weren't okay. We've been very prudent in spreading the risk around. So from a cash flow point of view, the city's in good shape. Our tax revenues, we've projected 12% down for the year we're in. We're a quarter of the way into this fiscal year. So far, tax revenues are running pretty much on schedule, maybe a touch worse. The trouble is that it's in the fourth quarter when you really would expect when a lot of taxes come in, so you really don't know yet.
So, Sam Shamden, if Mayor Bloomberg says tax revenues are running pretty much on schedule in New York City this year, maybe not, you know, maybe this is media driven to some degree. Maybe it's not as bad as all that.
Well, I think it is important to try and calm the market and to create a sense of stability. But at the same time, I think there is a realization that both at the very local level as well as at the state level, there are significant implications from the downturn and job losses on Wall Street, smaller bonuses for all kinds of different tax revenues that the city would normally expect to see come in, not only revenues from income taxes, but also real estate taxes. As the real estate market slows down and as transaction activity, the number of condos that are being sold begins to slow as well. Marisa raised a very important point with respect to the importance of financial services as a driver, not only in terms of the bonuses that have been paid, but in terms of how that impacts the creation of jobs in other areas and, as a result, tax revenues from different constituencies in the market. In 2007, we saw that financial services was only about 13% of the jobs in New York City, which is smaller than what it had been 30 years ago. But in spite of only being 13% of the jobs, it was 36% of the wages paid in the city. And so when these about half a million jobs in the sector in New York come under pressure, and the expectations, the state labor department has already said that, you know, in addition to the 10,000 jobs that have been lost, they have an expectation that as many as another 40,000 will be lost. And our number is a little bit higher than that in light of the extraordinary distress in the market just over the last couple of weeks. But that is going to have a significant impact in our view. It's difficult to gauge exactly what the numbers will look like in the fourth quarter and the beginning of next year. But I think there's probably very little doubt in people's minds that behind the scenes, the city is planning very carefully for a potential drop-off.
By the way, a correction to something that I said in the introduction about the bailout bill. The government does have the option of taking equity stakes in the banks. It's something that the Bush administration had opposed in the lead up to the bill, but it is there as an option in the bank and what we may option in the bill. And what we may hear from President Bush and other world leaders today and tomorrow, and we will carry President Bush's remarks live, expected in about 10 minutes from now, is perhaps some statement that they now intend to do that as a way of calming the market. So a correction from what I had said earlier. Sam, did you want to say something about that?
Yeah, I did, actually. I mean, Brian, Secretary Treasury, Treasury Secretary Paulson yesterday did make a comment to this effect where he did say we have very broad authority in this regard under the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act, and we will have the option of investing in assets wherever it is supportive of overall financial stability. And I think what's being hinted at there is the real potential for the government to begin to take equity stakes. It isn't clear what form that would take, maybe preferred equity. But I think the goal there would be to create liquidity in the market, not only to shore up confidence, but also to put the institutions in a position where the government can then exert some further leverage in saying, you know what, loosen up on your standards a little bit, begin to lend to each other, begin to open up the availability of credit a little bit. Because what we've seen over the course of the last couple of days in very clear fashion is that in spite of the coordinated rate cut by governments and central banks around the world, making that risk-free rate, making that central bank Fed funds rate lower, in and of itself isn't doing anything meaningful to lower the risk premiums and to encourage banks to lend in the private sector.
Right. And here is Mayor Bloomberg again from his BBC interview in London yesterday on the international nature of this. He was asked if there is real fear in America right now, but listen to his response.
Oh, I think there's real fear among the leadership and government of all countries today. We're here in London, and coming over here, somebody pointed out the streets were not anywhere near as crowded as you would expect on a business day. I think that if you take a look at companies, they are canceling Christmas parties and canceling orders for private jets, and they're holding back their employees from traveling. Yes, there's real fear out there.
So, Marissa DiNatale, chief economist and senior economist at MoodysEconomy.com. With that fear, and we see that fear and the credit squeeze that Sam was just talking about reflected in the stock market. You do market forecasting. Do your forecasts with respect to jobs or anything else keep changing with every 1,000 points in the Dow, or doesn't it work that way?
Quite work that way, although I admit that we have been progressively downgrading our overall macro forecast over the past, 2 to 3 weeks, given everything that's happened. We started out in early September. Things were, pretty bad, but then we had the bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers. We had the government takeover of Fannie and Freddie. We had both Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs converting themselves into bank holding companies, all in the span of just a few days. So we did mark down our forecast because of that. We were saying prior that we thought that this recession, and we thought that the response by the pretty aggressive response by both the Federal Reserve and the federal government would have allayed fears by now, and we would have seen some bounce back in the credit markets at this point. And we thought that the recession would have been shallower than what we saw back in 2001 and back in early 1990. But I think now it's looking more like we're probably going to see something at least as severe as what happened in 2001, and maybe even something as bad on the scale as the early 1990s, where we had, job losses in New York City, at least, that were well into the hundreds of thousands. Before our forecast was calling for a peak-to-trough job loss of around 70,000 in New York City, and I think that we've now downgraded that well over 100,000 just in the past month.
Right. Well, even, that is not so bad, considering that in the late 80s, early 90s recession in New York, there were hundreds of thousands of jobs lost. So maybe that's a little bit of perspective when people start using the D word, depression, and things like that.
I mean, we are not forecasting something on the scale. In terms of job loss in New York City, I still don't think it's going to be as bad as the early 90s. I think, if anything, it may look like what happened back in 2001. But even back in 2001, we had factors in play that led to very steep job losses that we don't have this time around. And outside of finance, the New York City economy, I think, is actually holding up very well. And most other sectors, with the exceptions of the one that I named earlier, are still adding to jobs.
And so
there's quite a buffer there.
Sam, before you go, what about real estate and housing, one of your prime specialties? It was a housing bubble that got us into this mess, but I keep hearing that much of the New York area real estate values are holding up pretty well in price, for better or worse. And, after 9/11 and the 2002 recession that Marissa was just talking about, I thought real estate would become cheaper in New York as there was less money being made, as happened after the 1987 crash. But that's when it really took off.
I think that in New York, and where New York differs a little bit from some of the other markets in the country, is in the nature of the supply-demand imbalance for real estate. In many other markets, we've seen that housing, condominiums in particular, have been overbuilt relative to the number of households that are actually living in that particular metropolitan area. In New York, in part because it's a relatively supply-constrained market, zoning, construction costs are high, and because prices inevitably are so high, we haven't seen the extent of overbuilding that we've seen elsewhere. And so that critical piece of house price adjustments that we're seeing right now countrywide are not at play. It's inevitable, however, that with less money in the system, with smaller bonuses being paid, and with a rise in the unemployment rate in New York, that there'll be some downward pressure on prices. As far far as the commercial real estate sector is concerned, this is probably more of a factor, as Marisa mentioned, for retail space, where retailers are coming under some pressure. And in New York, tourism is starting to slow down now, so it's becoming more of a factor here than it has been over the last 6 months. But it's also the case that for some of the very high-end office space, in the third quarter, we saw the vacancy rate for office space in New York begin to tick up. There was negative net absorption, meaning that some companies that had expiring leases were not renewing them. There's an increase in sublet availabilities, companies that are making their space available on the market.
And Sam, just before you go, we have to take a break, and we're coming up to the president's remarks, but difference between, you know, Manhattan luxury housing and the rest of housing in terms of the impact, difference between owner, you know, buying and renting?
I think right now there's some downward pressure on the buying market for condos. Rental rates are holding up. There are a lot of people who, with tighter access to mortgage credit, having to make larger down payments, are in the rental market for the foreseeable future. That's supporting demand for apartments and rent growth.
So there's one impact. Down payments are back.
Indeed, they are.
Sam Chandon, Chief Economist and Senior Vice President for Research at Reese Incorporated. Marisa DiNatale, Senior Economist at MoodysEconomy.com. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Brian.
We will continue in a minute. President Bush's remarks expected momentarily.